Well, we're back with you today, and we'd like to read from God's Word, from the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, 22nd verse. Jesus speaking to Peter, he tells Peter, have faith in God. The wonderful words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, have faith in God. Peter marveled here at the great thing that had taken place where Jesus had just cursed a fig tree. He noticed that the tree had withered up from the roots. And seeing this great thing take place, it caused Peter to marvel. And Peter marveled at the wonderful act of God. And as he did, Jesus said, Peter, just have faith in God. This that you've seen me do, you can do it too. And you know it wasn't long before Peter took hold of the words of the Lord Jesus and became a great and mighty warrior for Christ. We read about him walking on the water. We read about the shadow of Peter, how that it went over the sick and how that people were delivered. And we see the great faith of God in Peter's heart, all stemming from what Jesus had said to him. So then, having faith in God is a great thing. I say again that this is what the world needs, is faith in God. You know, people are seeking relief from their oppressions and from their problems through every field of entertainment, through every field of medical science, and through everything that the world has to offer. They're looking for a way out. They're looking for an exit or an escape. But you know, there's only one way to escape the things of this life, and that is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've got to come to know Jesus. While we were down in South America, I saw the hungry multitudes. Many thousands of people, just in Sao Paulo, Brazil, there we saw something like 10,000 people there in that one place, just seeking, looking, searching, with no one to guide them. Hundreds, thousands, millions of people across the world are looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. While they are searching diligently for Christ, the church world is taken up in the activities of the world. And while people are losing their souls, and while the coming of the Lord is so close at hand, the church world is majoring on the minor things of this world. And they're more interested in the things of this world than they are the things of God. Right at this particular time when mankind needs a helping hand, and when the church world should extend that helping hand, the church world finds itself in such a condition until it cannot offer the power and the assistance that mankind needs. But you know, I'm thankful because there are still those that are in the world that love Jesus. And though they be few, yet they are not leaning upon the arm of flesh. But they are daily talking to Christ, and they are daily preparing their hearts that they might be ready at any moment to assist God in His great undertaking in establishing His kingdom in this world. I think most of us will agree that the coming of the Lord Jesus is at hand. Most of us know that the coming of the Lord could not be very far away. When we look around us and we see the condition of the world, and we see everything going into a state of chaos, we're made to realize that some way or another, something has got to take place. We see the interruption in the government. We see the travail of mankind and the perilous times that Jesus spoke of. All around us we see this. We see sickness and sorrows. We see sufferings and heartache. And we're made to know that there's got to be a divine intervention of some kind if man is to survive. I'm reminded of the vision that George Washington had when he said that he saw the economy go down. But then he said after that, he looked, and there was, as it appeared to him, a divine intervention. And from somewhere there came a helping hand, and it raised up again, and it was established to never go down anymore. And you know, that's what I believe. I believe God is able to hold us up. I believe that God is able to intervene right at this particular time When we're having problems and when no one can help, I believe that Christ can intervene in the situation and come on the scene and do something that others have not been able to do. The Bible tells us that in that day, no man shall save them. No one will be able to save them in that day. Christ alone shall be exalted in that day. You know, we have tried about everything to satisfy our hearts and our souls. We've turned about everything to straighten out the conditions of the world, only to learn that it's worse than it ever has been before. So then we understand that we've got to have a divine intervention. We've got to have God's help. Something has got to happen more than we've already seen if we are to survive the crisis of this perilous hour that we're living in. I thank God because I discovered this wonderful truth a number of years ago. And since that time, my life has been so filled up and overflowing with the things of God. I have found a wholesome way of life. I found something that I can trust in, something that I can lean upon. And I've been able, because of Christ Jesus, to surmount every problem and to rise up into a place with God that I am safe from the storms of life. I thank the Lord for His wonderful kindness and for His goodness. And you know, ever since I've come to that place, I have found myself endeavoring to share with others this wonderful news, this glad tidings of great joy that I have received from God. I meet people all around the world, everywhere we go. Having ministered around the different parts of the world, we've been privileged to speak to many hundreds and thousands of people. Many millions of people by TV and radio and in personal appearances. But you know, one thing is always in my heart, and that is to tell them about the love of God, to tell them about the way of escape. Everybody is looking for a way of escape. So much oppression. The Bible said, surely oppression maketh the wise man mad. And the oppressions of today are driving people insane. They're trying to get out from under the oppression. And even though they turn to the things of the world, whether it be the field of entertainment or whatever, they still find that they are not able to escape the great oppressions of the satanic powers of Satan. You know, you cannot get rid of that which has become an interwoven thing in your nature. You cannot get rid of that with some tangible means or some entertainment. It's going to take the Spirit of God going down into our hearts and into our lives, breaking the yoke and taking that which is unclean out of us, filling us with the joy of the Lord. You know, a person, if they had a sickness in their body, especially in their bloodstream, you know, they would know that going to a hospital wouldn't take care of that. They would automatically know that shaking hands with a doctor wouldn't take care of that. You know, it wouldn't matter how many hospitals that you got admitted to. If you had cancer of the blood, that wouldn't do you any good. You might be acquainted with the best physician in town. That still wouldn't do you any good. What you've got to do is have something that can get down on the inside. Something that medical science has come up with that can get on the inside of you and eradicate the impurities and move out the germ, get it out of your system that germ may completely be eradicated and moved out of your life. You've got to do that before you can have health again. And it's the same way with sin. You may join every church. You may have the best pastor in town. You may pay your tithe. You may be a good person as far as the world is concerned when it comes to morals. You may attend church with a regularity. But I want you to know that that will never do the job. You're going to have to be born again. You're going to have God's Spirit in your heart if you ever, ever understand eternal life and have eternal life. You're going to have God's Spirit to come into your life. And the only way that you can do that is to repent of your sins, turn away from the things of the world, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, and be filled with His Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. not to care about the things of this life, but to be filled with the Spirit, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these things shall be added unto us. The Bible tells us that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, that if we'll delight ourselves in the Lord, then He will give us the desires of our heart, make us to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed us with the heritage of Jacob, if we will only delight ourselves in the laws of God. But you know, we should never at any time try to satisfy our soul with the things of this world. You know, one question arises in my mind, and that is why that people who profess Christianity are so concerned about the things of this world. When the Bible tells us that we are not of this world, God, having chosen us out of this world, hath hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring or the restitution of all things. Then, beloved friend, why are we so interested in the things of this world? Why are we so carried away with the things of this world if we are pilgrims and strangers in this life? Why is it that we are not interested in the things of God? Whereas the Bible said, lay up your treasures in heaven, where thieves doesn't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. Why then is our greatest interest in the things of lesser value? We place more emphasis on the side of life which holds the less value. Why not esteem that which God has spoke to our hearts about as being the greater value? Why not esteem that more highly that God speaks of than the tangible things of this life, or these things that will deteriorate and pass away? You know, I know that the things of this world are needful. I realize that. I know that God has given us automobiles, He's given us home, He's given us clothing, and He's given us families, and He's given us positions, and there are certain places in life that we must feel. I understand that. There's a certain amount of prestige that goes along with life, and I understand these things, a certain amount of knowledge that we're compelled to have as we go through this life. But there's one thing that we need to know, and that is that Christ Jesus understands that also, and that when God spoke to us concerning His Word, that He was not ignorant of the fact that He had created the world, and that He had put us in this world, and that we had certain duties in this life. Christ wasn't ignorant of that. So then when He spoke His words, it wasn't contrary to those things which we are compelled to do through life. It did not take away from those things that are necessitated by life, but He only spoke to us in such a manner as to say that there are greater things than the things of this world, that there are greater things than the things of this life, that I have something better for you than the things of this world, that though you may be enthused over the things of this world, and though you may be carried away with the things of this world, yet, friend, I want you to know that there's something far greater than the things of this life. I have something far greater for you than the things of this world. So then we see by that God is doing something for us. We see that when He speaks the word, that He is trying to tell us something. See, God wants us to understand that He is with us in that which we have here in this life as a responsibility, and that He will give us strength to carry this on. But the problem is, mankind put the things of this world first. And this is the thing that highly displeases God. God doesn't want anything having the preeminence in our life. He Himself wants the preeminence. And God knows that mankind has a weakness toward the things of this world. So then we have a tendency to put the things of this life first and look to the securities of life. And in so doing, we take our faith out of God and we find ourselves leaning upon the arm of flesh and the weakness of mankind. That's a great mistake. See, God loves us, friend. And God doesn't want us, He doesn't want us to be such a person that we would be weak through life and not able to have faith in God and to overcome our problems. But if I put my faith in the tangible side of life, then it's for sure that I'm going to fail. It's for sure that those things that are sinking sand, they're going to give away. If I place my confidence in those things that will deteriorate, then I have no foundation. You know, the Bible speaks of the wise man, And it said the wise man, he dug down deep and he laid his foundation on a rock. And then the Bible tells us that when the winds blew and the storm came, that it could not tear down the house that the wise man had built, because it was founded upon a rock. But then he said the foolish man also built a house, but he built it upon the sand. You know, the shifting sands of theology and ideas and not the solid rock of Christ, that is what causes the problem. And so then the foolish man, having built his house upon the sand, it was there that he run into problems, because he had no foundation. And when the winds came, and when all the turbulence began to arise, and when all the troubles of life began to come, the Bible said that that house fell, and great was the fall of it, because it had no foundation. That's the way the world is today. They're not putting their faith in God. They're not seeking God first and giving God the glory for having created all of the things that we enjoy. But they are enjoying these things, placing their confidence in these things, and putting God out of their life. In so doing, they're going to be robbed of everything. You know, Satan is a thief and a robber. Jesus said, Satan comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. You know, the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. I come that you may have life filled up and overflowing. Jesus is the Prince of Life, and he wants us to have abundance of life. Abundance of life. God wants us to have abundance of life. So then he isn't trying to take anything away from us, but he is trying to get our vision turned in the right direction so that he can bless us in a greater measure, not only with temporal things, but in an extensive life, the world to come, in eternal riches and eternal life, that we may enjoy the eternal riches. So then it's wonderful to know that we can have faith in God. Jesus said, Peter, have faith in God. This is what all the world needs to do, is have faith in God. Thus doing, we will preserve our heritage in the earth and also that which God has promised us in the world to come. All right, at this time, we'd like to take just a minute or two to pray for you. Just before we close out, we'd like to offer our prayer. We always look forward to praying for you and asking you to write us. Let us hear from you. Write us a letter. Let us know that you're watching out there. We get wonderful letters from people that are viewing the program from all over the different parts of the nation. The program goes all the way from Pennsylvania down into Salem, Indiana. And we get real response. And here on 46, we also get a wonderful response from those that are round about, even into the Atlanta area and different places. So then, we'd like to offer prayer for you. Father, we thank you for your wonderful blessings and for your kindness. We ask you to be with us in the lovely name of Jesus. Those that are watching, may they be healed, Father. May you stretch out your hand of healing and heal in the name of Jesus. Lord, heal for your glory. Touch them, Father, and wherever they may be. Oh, God, if it's in the hospitals, and Father, wherever it might be around the different parts of the world, I ask you to heal in the name of Jesus. Forgive their sins. Save them for Christ's sake. Write us a letter. Let us hear from you. Let us know that you are looking and listening. Until next time, we'll say bye for now.